Our topic for 4 weeks has been spiritual health habits. We have talked about the habit of worship time, Bible time, fellowship time, and service time, and today's habit is prayer time. Before we focus on today's habit of prayer, let me say I'm not implying that these habits are absent from your life. One of my guiding light passages is 1 Thessalonians 4:1, which says, "We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." So Paul says, we are instructing you how to please the Lord by the way you live. The way you live can please or displease the Lord. And in fact, we want to put a smile on God's face. So to live in such a way does indeed put a smile on his face. And we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. I believe in the more and more principle. The pursuit of excellence never ends. It is best pursued by building on the progress of the past, and we do so through good spiritual health habits. And one of those habits was Bible time. Read, reflect, and relate the Bible to every day of your life, because the Bible is better than honey and money. I don't know what else I've said that has been better remembered than that. The Bible is better than honey and money. When getting started, it's probably best to keep it simple. The important thing is to get started. I generally suggest that people start with 10 minutes, and once you get started, 10 minutes will fly by rather swiftly. Listen to this email from a parishioner from a previous church when we talked about Bible time. He said, "I started reading this morning, and before I realized it, I had read for much more than 10 minutes. I had read this week's assignment plus one chapter. I plan to read only one chapter each day, beginning tomorrow. Reading more than one takes away time that should be spent in contemplating and meditating on what has been read." So if you'll just get started, then you won't know when to stop. It'll be wonderful to enjoy Bible time and prayer time that way. Remember, the issue is seldom time. The issue is almost always time management. I mean, I have all sorts of time to read all sorts of things. Surely I can make time to read the most important thing. I have time to check my little g mail. Surely I have time to check my big G God mail. I have time to see what folks have posted on Facebook. Maybe I should make time to see what God says and to seek his face in his book. And also remember, you are reading not just for mileage, but for message, not just for inspiration, for information, but for inspiration, not just for to inform our minds, but to transform our lives. So take the Bible time challenge. You can start anytime. I plan to read Proverbs 11 in August. If you have a Bible time plan, that's fine. But if you don't, you can join me in reading Proverbs 11 in August. I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm reading just one verse per day. Proverbs 11 is one of two chapters in Proverbs that have 31 verses, and August has 31 days. So I'm going to read the verse of the day in Proverbs 11 and then meditate on it during the course of the day, and that way I will milk that Bible cow for all it's worth. I'll squeeze that Bible beehive for all the honey that's in her. And I plan to read Proverbs 11 one verse at a time in August. You can join me if you like. If you all also have a different Bible time, as I said before, you can do that. Let me encourage you also to share your journey with others. At family mealtimes, with friends, in your groups and classes, and maybe with coworkers or school friends, that can be as simple as asking, "What did you learn in Bible time recently? What got your attention the most? What spoke to your heart?" Sharing doesn't have to be long and elaborate. It can be a simple reflection of what you learned. For instance, my oldest son and I exchanged texts. You can't write much in a text. We exchanged texts on what the chapter in the Proverbs meant to us in a given month a while back. Also, feel free to email me along the way. I would love to hear about how the Lord is speaking to your heart and working in your life as a result of Bible time and prayer time. The Bible is indeed a deep reservoir of truth. But like most pools, you can swim in the deep end or you can wade in the shallow end. You don't have to be an Olympic swimmer in order to enjoy Bible time. You don't have to be an oceanographer in order to enjoy the beach. Now let's talk about the next spiritual health habit, and that is the habit of prayer time. Talk to the Lord one-on-one every day. Talk to the Lord one-on-one every day. There are at least three types of prayer in the Scriptures. There's more than that, but I'll just focus on three today. One type is constant prayer. Paul says in Romans 12:12, be constant in prayer. Paul repeatedly encourages and models constant prayer. He seems to have been a reflexive prayer. When someone or something came to his mind, it would automatically go to his prayers. The idea is that we're constantly aware of the presence of God and ready at any time to engage in conversation. We're ready when we get up in the morning and when we lay down at night, when we're at home or work or school or play, when we're walking or driving or riding, when we're tuned into the radio or TV or internet, when we're reading a book or a magazine or a blog or a post, we can be ready at any time. The command makes clear that prayer is not a time based on time, place, posture, or circumstances. Prayer is not an activity just involving head bowed, eyes closed, knees bent kind of motions. Prayer is not just for funerals or weddings or other types of ceremonies, and it's not just a church activity. Prayer is potentially any time and all the time. It's like being in the same room with your spouse or a friend when both of you are reading or studying or watching the game. You may not talk for long stretches of time, but you're available to talk at any time. Well, a spirit of constant prayer is even better than that, because you can begin a conversation with the Lord anytime. He is never distracted by his reading or his studies or his favorite team. He is always available. He is the ultimate multitasker. He can monitor the earth and the solar system and the entire universe and still hear every prayer every time. A sense of the constant presence and availability of Christ can give us perspective, wisdom, courage, comfort, and conviction. That is constant prayer. The next type of prayer that I want to point out in the Bible is corporate prayer. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to prayer. They were praying together. Now, corporate prayer can happen in a variety of settings. One prayer partner, two or three, is in a prayer cluster. Eight or ten is in a small group. 20 or 30 or 40 is in a prayer meeting. Dozens or hundreds by way of an email update. All church prayers, such as the kind we pray during the course of a service. The Christian life is not complete without some time for corporate prayer in one or more of those settings. There is just something different about praying with other people that is not the same as praying by yourself. So there's something different about praying with others in the same place or at the same time or on the same topic. We are reminded that we're not alone in the world when we pray together. That's corporate prayer. Constant prayer and corporate prayer is followed by what I want to focus on this morning, and that is closet prayer. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, when you pray, go to your room and close the door. Some translations say, go to your closet and pray. Closet prayer is not the prayer time that you may have while at the coffee shop or in your car or doing your workout. Closet prayer is by design a quiet place where you focus on your relationship with the Lord. It is good to pray at all times and in group times, but that is different than private time. Closing the door, which is what Jesus says to do, minimizes distractions towards you and toward others that might occur, so that you can focus on your conversation with the Lord. So closet prayer is a good thing. And mornings is a good time for closet prayer, even though it's a busy time. When you're getting ready for work or school or whatever, you need to shower and dress, you need to grab a bite to eat, you got to finish your homework or your work project, you want to see the latest news headlines or sports scores, and before you know it, you're running out of time and you're running out the door. Mornings can be a tough time for prayer time, but it's a good time for prayer time, for closet prayer time. It prepares you for the opportunities and the challenges that you will face that day. You can pray your way into the day. Pray your way into the day. You can enter the day with a breath of fresh air from heaven and a renewed perspective on life. The Bible refers to morning prayer time a lot. Jesus, for instance, in Mark 1:35 is described, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. If Jesus needed to start his day with prayer, surely you and I need to start our day that way too. It is best to check the map before you start the trip. Fill the tank before you hit the road. Pack your bags before you board the plane. Think of prayer time as a bit like coffee with Jesus, a relaxed yet reverent time with a close friend, discussing what happened yesterday and before, and what will happen today and beyond. It's a conversation, not just about responsibilities and behavior, but about thoughts and feelings and perspective. It is an open and honest discussion about your hopes and dreams, doubts and fears, successes and disappointments. Now, there is a wrong way to have coffee with Jesus. Here is a somewhat irreverent example of what not to do. Watch the screens.
Hey, Jesus, sorry I'm late. Work was crazy today. No, don't get up. It's okay. Just got a little bit behind. People are being crazy, you know.
That's no problem, Chuck. I'm just glad.
I'm glad I made it, too. Listen, let's get down to business. I have a lot of work here. A lot of requests. First things first, pastor and his wife are at a conference. Keep them safe. Not a fan of the assistant pastor. The less he preaches, the better. What else? Ralph, his wife is getting a tattoo removed. It's a stupid college party way back when. You know how those things go. It's in a real painful spot.
I'm not a fan of football here, but my friend is. And if I could have two tickets to take him to show him how cool I am so he'd be my friend some more, that'd be great.
My dog Nibbles has a gimp leg.
Jiminy crickets. You know, now that I'm thinking, I could use a new jacket. I'm getting fuzzies all in this one. Please bless my sister, my mother, my father. Our Father who art in heaven, my neighbor, Cindy. Hallowed be thy name.
Can you sort of train my church to clap on 2 and 4, please? 1 and 3, this is not disco, people. This is serving the Lord.
The guy who brings in my shopping cart from the thing,
something I can do to get a raise. Can you read what I wrote here? I think I was dreaming. Bless the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Secretaries. Bless their secretaries. Thy kingdom come. And that's what bothers me about my mother.
Hey, look at the time there. That's, gotta get going there. Jesus gonna wrap this up and say amen. Amen. It's been a pleasure praying with you. It's fine evening. I'll be talking with you. Have a good day.
That is a good example of a bad way to pray your way into the day. It's a rather amusing but rather irreverent example of what not to do. Prayer is not supposed to be wish list time, complaint time, aches and pains time. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. Everyone's time may be different, but it may help to see a sample. So let me pull back the curtain for a moment to reveal an abbreviated vision of what prayer time with Jesus usually looks like for me. I usually find a comfortable spot. I'm not usually dressed like this early in the morning. I usually find a comfortable spot and I will turn on a lamp. Then I will sit down. I am enjoying coffee with Jesus. Now, it's easy to be distracted at a time like this because of the newspaper or a recent magazine or a book that I've enjoyed or a device, perhaps like the tablet or maybe my cell phone. By the way, if you use a cell phone in the service, I'm going to assume that it's because you have a Bible on your cell phone or your device. I'm not going to assume that you're just playing a game or something like that. But it's hard to not check my email at a time like this, and it's hard to avoid all that stuff. It's especially hard to avoid the TV remote, otherwise known as the clicker, because with the push of a button, I can turn on the TV and check the latest weather report or the latest sports news or the latest news update. But if I can set all that aside, that would be better, and have coffee with Jesus. By the way, I spoke on this topic at a recent church, a transitional church, and a lady came and presented me and Dina with this tray. It says Jesus and coffee, so I thought that was very nice of her. And while we were cleaning out the house to prepare it for sale, my wife is the executor of my in-law's estate, I found this bookmark, "In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus." Now, you can't see it from there, but it also includes a cup of coffee. So have coffee with Jesus. Don't get distracted by all the things that could distract you. Now, I use my tablet for my devotions. You can use whatever you desire, but I will open my tablet and turn it on if it's off. And then I will click to the Bible portion, and I'll read. By the way, these five P's are P's in a prayer pod that you can use as a guidance for the quiet time, the Bible time and prayer time that you have. They're listed on your insert. And I'm reading Proverbs 11 now. So what I'll do is I'll read the passage first, and then I'll pray through the passage and try to personalize the passage. Today's verse is Proverbs 11:1. "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him." So what I'll try to do is I'll try to personalize that passage through prayer. I'll pray something like, "Lord, help me to use honest scales and accurate weights." By the way, I will meditate on this verse or this passage, these verses. And this is a wonderful verse to meditate on because, all 31 of them will be. But this also is a wonderful verse because it uses language that is very strong. In our place and day and age, the word detests is a strong word. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. So I'll pray something like, "Lord, help me to pursue honesty in all my relationships." In that day, scales were the typical way that people determined what they would utilize or how they would pay their bills. And so everything was weighed, more things were weighed then than are weighed now. So a dishonest scale might be that, or an accurate weight might be that the merchant would shave off or put on an ounce or two on the weight. And therefore, when he was weighing out 16 ounces of something, to use our language, when he was weighing out 16 ounces of something, if it was a little more or a little less, then he would benefit from that scale. But accurate weights find favor with God. So I will read the passage, and I'll pray to personalize the passage. I've done that every day with Proverbs and before. By the way, I'm choosing to read Proverbs 11 because I have another plan for September, October, and November, and December, which I will describe at a later time. But anyway, I will try to pray through the passage. I'll try to personalize the passage. Then I'll pray the pattern prayer. I call it that because it's a pattern. Jesus said in the same context where he gave us the pattern prayer, don't pray with vain repetition. Don't use the same words time and time and time again as if you are chanting and as if you are thinking that the Lord will benefit or that you will benefit from just chanting the same words. And so I will pray the pattern prayer, but I will do so in my own words. I'll say something like, Our Father who art in heaven. I'll say, Lord, I know that you are Father of every Christian on the earth, not just me. That's the our part, our Father who art in heaven. I know that you are a heavenly Father. You are perfect. My dad was very imperfect, but you are perfect, and I can count on you. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll pray that in my own prayer, in my own words as well. I'll say something like, Lord, please cause every place I step to be a place where your name is known as holy. Please cause every place I step, my slice of life, to be a place where your will is done, not mine. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a hard one to pray, because if I want daily bread, I'll go to the cupboard or the refrigerator or the freezer or the grocery store or the restaurant, and I'll get what I want. That wasn't always the case, and it isn't always the case now in certain places on the globe. People are desperate for the food that they need, for the daily bread that they need. So I give thanks to the Lord for his bountiful provisions. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, depending on the translation that you use. And this is hard too, because it requires that I have a spirit of forgiveness in order to receive forgiveness. I have to give forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You got to be kidding. I mean, Lord, are you serious? You really want me to forgive those who have wronged me? Yes, Lord, I want you to forgive me. But you want me to forgive them too? Yes. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so I'll pray something like, Lord, keep me from the rip current and save me from the rip current. And then, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I will always end that prayer with praise. So I'll pray the passage and the pattern, and then I'll pray for people in my life. I pray for my wife and our children and their spouses and their children. I pray for my siblings and their spouse and their children and their grandchildren. We also pray for our grandchildren. I pray for Dina's siblings and their spouses and their children and their grandchildren. And I pray for this church. I pray for the leadership of this church, for the pastor nominating committee of this church, for the staff, for everybody involved in this church, for the members of this church. I will pray for the people involved in my life. Then I'll pray for projects. That's the fourth P. I will pray that God, whatever is coming up on my to-do list, I'll pray that God will intervene and supersede in that list and with that particular project. Then I'll try to end the prayer time with praise, as did Jesus. with praise to the Father. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I will try to end that way. So I will pray the five P's, and they are all listed in your insert. I think they're on the back of your insert. I'm not sure. But on the four-panel insert in your Bible. By the way, when I get to the people part, please notice that on the people part, there are 10 suggestions as to how to pray for people. And the last one is health. It's the first one we think of, and the last one we pray for is health. And the reason I listed it that way is because in the Bible, there are very few references to praying for people's health. Now, they are in there, and health is very significant, but it's the safest thing to pray for. It's not like praying for someone's spiritual well-being or someone's spiritual growth or some other aspect of someone's life, their relationships, and their job situation, etc. It's the safest thing to pray for. God bless Aunt Jane because of her ingrown toenail or whatever. You know, you can pray safely with that kind of prayer, but it's not so much to be safe as it is to be effective. So I pray those five P's, and that's the Bible time and prayer time. They do go together quite well. Then I will turn off the lamp, and I'll get up, and I'll proceed with my day. Now, that doesn't hurt anything. It helps people to know that I've done that. And when I've had Bible time and prayer time, I am far more ready to face the day. Let me encourage you to develop the habit to pray your way into the day. If you already have that habit, good for you. Feel affirmed. If you're not in that habit, feel invited. Do not feel indicted. Do feel invited. You probably want to set a modest goal. 10 minutes a day is not bad. That may not sound like much, but it's more than you're doing now, it's plenty. If you're already praying that much, don't cut back. Consider that the floor, not the ceiling. If you just get started, there will be times you can hardly stop, as was indicated by the letter I read earlier, the email I received. So have Bible time and prayer time, even when you don't feel like it. In fact, it's more important when you don't feel like it. When you do feel like it, that's a good time as well. But when you don't feel like it, that's the best time for it. When you feel like you need it the least, that's when you probably need it the most. Now, let's end our sermon time before we partake of communion and then sing one more time and have our benediction. Let's end our sermon time by reciting together Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Let me say a word about this passage. This is an amazing passage of Scripture, because in this passage of Scripture, we have the Lord bringing glory, Jesus bringing glory to God. That I can understand. But the idea that the church is going to bring glory to God, that's a little bit harder for me to understand and to grasp, because the church is filled with people. People are so imperfect. I am, you are, we are imperfect, but God plans to bring glory to Himself in the church. Let's stand and recite this passage together, and then we'll sit and have communion. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power, which is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, both now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.